Pastor Kathy wanted me to share about what I did this weekend. Jonas and I got back last night
from where?
We went to a GM's appreciation meeting. So Pratt has a huge
industry.
Better? Okay.
Okay.
Pratt has a big rule where you take care of your people, regardless of what it is. They don't believe in just rehiring if it doesn't work and training up somebody new. They believe in keeping your people and doing what's best. So they wanted to honor, this is the very first ever GM's honoring weekend. There were about 75 GMs with their spouses that were allowed to come. So about 140, about 150 people. Everything was 110% expensed out. All your food, all your travel, all of your whatever. So the event was at Mar-a-Lago, and the hotel that they put us at was the Breakers. I didn't even know what the Breakers was. Okay. The Breakers has been around since like the 1800s. It's one of like, next to it is the church that Trump got married in. Okay. We had prayed from the get-go for just favor and to be at the right place at the right time, because this was clearly going to be a huge thing for us. We've never seen anything like this. We've never been around things like that. This is, and at first I was terrified. I didn't want to go because just the sheer money and the area scared me half to death. I mean, I'm from Shreveport. We're good at falling in potholes, but we're not good at, you know, talking and schmoozing people. So the more that I prayed, the more that I started to feel confident about it. And I wasn't scared the whole weekend. I didn't feel intimidated. And somebody asked me yesterday, did you, you know, not fit in? Did you feel like you were lower than everyone else? And I was like, I didn't even notice anybody else. No, I didn't even look at that. But the favor was so strong because one of the GMs, their rooms, the curtains didn't close all the way, so they couldn't sleep in. The sun kept waking them up, which seems like something so small, but when you're going to like meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting and all you want to do is sleep, you want those curtains to close in Florida because it's bright. Ours closed fine. And then when we got to the bus, because you have to be shuttled in to Mar-a-Lago and there's Secret Service and there's all this stuff, we didn't get on the first bus with all of our GM friends. And I was a little upset because I was sitting with people I didn't know. But, and the reason I couldn't is because, thanks, Mom, they put my name tag as Lillian Schuster. And I don't go by Lillian, I go by Sophie. So the CEO, the global CEO's wife, I had met with on a previous event. And she was like, who's Lillian? She's like, I looked on the list and I was like, I don't know this Lillian. I only know a Sophie. She's like, we have to fix your name tag. I was like, fine. So I'm standing with the global CEO. We're printing off this little kiosk. I'm using my teeth and I'm ripping off Sophie and I'm putting it over. So I missed the first bus and I'm so upset because I wanted to be in there. I wanted to see it and I wanted to sit with people I knew. Well, we did not. So I'm steaming a little bit on the bus and I'm a little upset because we're in the back. I'm on the last row on the second bus. I'm like, they're going to get in before me, and they're going to see everything. And then they're all going to have pictures and then whatever. Y'all, all the bus left at the same time. They didn't get in there before me. And the first bus, they all had to get off and be frisked and wanded. And they had to walk, okay, from, let's say, the end of this building all the way to the end of this building outside. In the sun, it's like 90 degrees in their outfits. We did not. We got pulled up to the entrance through a special security thing and went straight in. So what I was upset about was nothing, right? Right. So then we get inside, and it was beautiful, but honestly, I missed so many details because I didn't care. I missed Trump's office. I missed his oil painting. I missed all of it because I was just there. I didn't notice all the things. I didn't notice they had the $1,000 bottle of champagnes that they were passing out. I didn't notice any of it because I was just talking. So they had 6 special seating. I was also nervous about that. And all the other GMs were sitting with drunk people or no one important. Well, I say that. They were just other salesmen or people who had only been in the company for a little while. But I was next to this global CEO's son and his wife, who are also the next in command. So at the other event, I sat next to the global the CEO and his wife. And this one, I sat next to their children. So the CEO's wife, Jan, came up to me and was like, it's my 2 favorite people in the world. I'm so glad you're getting to sit next to Sophie. She's my favorite person. And I was like, oh my God, right? So then we leave. Everything's fine. And Jonas's boss, who's the mill division president, texted him and said, I had so much fun with y'all. I can't wait to spend time with y'all again. I'm glad you're happy. And I can't wait to spend time with Sophie, Sophia, or Lillian again. Because of my name tag. It was like the thing for the whole night because everybody's, my name tag was different than everybody's. But Jonas and I were the only people in color. Everyone else was in black. And I guess they just missed the mark. Everybody came up to me and Jonas and were like, y'all are so cute. Everybody. So everybody knows who Jonas and I are, whether they wanted to or not. It was a beautiful experience. Yeah. So, the favor was outrageous. I'm shocked I got to do something like this. But more to come. Maybe Trump will be there next time and I'll bring him by.
Hallelujah. Little girl from Shreveport was, I just wanted to share that God can take you where you could never take yourself for reasons you don't even understand, even while you're there. Because we had discussed this, you know, and he doesn't, I love the fact that he, you know, the way God thinks isn't the way we think at all. Are y'all aware of that? He doesn't think the way most Christians think. He just loves. And he calls us to love. You don't know where people have come from, what they've come out of. You don't know the whole story. Even if somebody tells you the story, they only can tell you the parts that they saw or heard or knew personally, but they don't know the whole story. Everybody in this room has a story. Some of it you wouldn't mind people seeing. Some of it you go, This is why love never fails. This is why love never fails. God doesn't call us to do anything because we've got our act together, guys. God calls us because he has his act together. And he's just choosing to let us in on himself. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever, ever, ever forget that. And then that's why we can give God glory for everything. And that's why we can say in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That no matter where you find yourself on your journey, the good news is you're on the journey at all with Jesus. Amen. I appreciate you being willing to share that. Yeah. Go look at some of the photos and stuff like that. And I was just remembering lots of prayers. I never underestimate the power of prayer. And I appreciate that my mom prayed for me. I really believe I overworked her. I really believe I overworked my mom. The only reason some of you are smiling really big is because you may have done the same thing. And some of you may not have had a mom like I had. And this is why we have Jesus. He's the breasted one, the Bible says. It's not a male-female thing. It's a love thing. It's a love thing. I want to wish all our moms a happy Mother's Day. And there are many spiritual mothers as well who introduced and in much prayer gave birth to souls. Gave birth. You know, in prayer you can literally, I mean, you can just, it's almost like you're the midwife. And you're saying, you can do it. Come on. Come on. Push. You can do it. Don't stop now. I find God to be very good. But today, oddly enough, but for me not so much oddly, I'm going to talk to you about no confidence. No confidence. No confidence. No confidence. I remember one time when I was a little girl, I was really struggling with something, not the first time or the last. And my mom came over and she said, "Don't say I can't. Say I can. Can do anything. Can do anything." Yeah. And her cousin had told it to her when she was growing up. And she saw me really struggling. I think I was trying to tie my shoes or something. I just couldn't get it right. And I said, "I can't do it." She said, "Don't say you can't do it. You can. Can do anything." I find something similar. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I read that verse, I think of my mom. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm saying it to you today. You can do all things through Christ. Now you got to look at, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you doing something through Christ? Are you trying to do something on your own, for your own, for just you, so you can consume it upon yourselves, like the Bible talks about? Or what you do, are you living the life for Christ? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, the Bible says. Paul said, for me, you know, to live is Christ. To die, I mean, I'm better off being there than being beat up in every city I go to, for Pete's sake. And at some point left for dead. So Paul, you know, you see these Bible characters, and they really could not put confidence in their flesh. That's why it says, I can do all things through Christ. Our confidence, there's a lot out there today about, you just need to believe in yourself. I don't believe in myself. I know better than that. I know what myself was. I believe in the one who created myself. Y'all understand? And so everything is about a healthy self-esteem. No, it's a God esteem. It's a God esteem. In of yourself, you're nothing. You have nothing. You're a moron. In and of yourself. You will make terrible choices, terrible decisions. Apart from Christ, you're not going to know the Word of God. You're not going to mostly care. The only time a lot of people who aren't saved care about the Word of God is when they're in a jam and they saw, well, somebody somewhere on TV prayed something. Maybe he'll do something for me. The Bible says he's given you all things richly to enjoy. Everything God did, he's done. He's already done it. It's already done. And then you draw on that supply of what he's already done when you get ready to tackle something. You are prepared for every place you are if you'll stay in the Word. I can't emphasize this enough. You're going to have to literally devour the Word of God to even begin to understand most of what I say in a practical way. God is very practical. He's not spooky. He's practical. And so the things that he tells us are things to help us in a very practical way so that we can do what he actually wants us to do. Did you know you literally can't do what God wants you to do without God helping you? Because you don't even know where to begin. You'll read a book, well, they did it like this. You're not them. That may not be what you're called to. You say, well, I'm called to preach. But preach what? Preach what? How? To whom are you called? Because some people are called to preach on the other side of the world. Some people are called. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So you can't go by how everybody does it. You're not everybody. You're somebody in particular. You are not everybody else. The whole thing of you got to be like everybody else is silly. Because if you're a Christian, number one, you're not going to be like everybody else. Number two, you're not going to be like some other Christians because you're at different stages in your development. A 5-year-old is not the same as a 15-year-old. They're just not the same. They're not going to go about tasks the same way. They're not going to literally think the same way about everything, are they? And in the body of Christ, why can't we cut people slack for not knowing everything? And the most judgmental people are the ones who know the least. Because if you really learned how good God's been to you, what a moron you were before you came to him, and in his grace and mercy saved you, you wouldn't be so judgmental. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. It's really quiet in this Holy Ghost field. Yeah, writing down. So our confidence must be in all God has promised and how very capable He is. See, my confidence is in God. God, you can get me where I need to go. I depend on Him for it. You can get me where you want me to be. You can do it. He can orchestrate. That was just, she was an example of exactly what I'm talking about. God can orchestrate things for you you never dreamed were possible, didn't even half know existed. And God says, I have a placement for you in my kingdom. Would we be open enough to allow God to actually place us as He sees fit? Or do we have to have it our way? What we think already, a preconceived idea. Our preconceived ideas are in our way, is all I can tell you. You don't know how God wants to use you, and you can't go by how somebody else does it. I mean, you can by a degree that you manage your money, certain things that you do. You stay legal. There's certain things, requirements, but I'm talking about like your functionality. Let God determine that for you. Don't even look at, well, I'm a woman, so it's got to be like this. Or I'm a man, so, you know, I should be like this. Who told you that? Who told you that? We got to believe God. At some point, you just have to believe God. That God knows you. He loves you more than even you love yourself. Because all of us love ourselves more than anybody if we want to admit it. It's a hard thing to die to self. It's so much alive. Somebody offends you. Or you don't think your placement was right or whatever it is. People get offended over some of the most trivial things I've ever seen. Like the whole world's supposed to revolve around just me. Just me. Never mind what somebody else is going through. And you can't look at where somebody is and know what they're really like. They are a product of all kinds of things that have happened in their lives. And what they have done with those things in their lives. Because see, you're not who you are because of anything you've gone through. You're who you are because of what you decided to do with that. That's a powerful statement. Because Jesus had every reason to be very resentful. He's rejected by his own family, his siblings, relatives, the people in his community. It's almost like they didn't want to associate with him because he was considered some sort of heretic, lunatic. You know, our confidence has got to be in Jesus. Your confidence can't be in yourself. I'm just telling you, can't. You cannot. You cannot fulfill God's plan for your life if your confidence is in yourself. And it goes against everything. Well, you should have self-confidence. And I'm just saying, if my confidence is in me, I'm done. I'm done before I even get out of bed that morning. I'm done. Because I'm not trying to live like the world. My confidence is knowing that God has a plan for my life. And I want God's plan for my life. Why? Because it's better than what I can come up with. It's just better. He's more generous than anybody will ever be to me. He's more kind. He's much more patient. Haven't you found Him to be much more patient with you than anybody you've ever known? And yet when we deal with people, are we patient with them? How long do you hang in there with somebody? Well, I don't know. I've been dealing with them for 3 years, and we're still dealing with this same issue. I will bless your heart. Just three? Let's see. How many of you have had issues God's been dealing with you about for 20 years? It's the same thing. Just keep recycling. At some point it shows up again. You're being recycled one more time, one more time. This is what I'm talking about. But then when it comes to us, we won't cut people the same slack God keeps cutting us. The first time they do something that offends us, oh, because we're so precious. Heaven forbid anybody offend us. The first time, or the second or the third. But you look, how many times have we offended God, and how many times we have come running back to Him, and His arms were just wide open to us. I'm not talking about participating in people's sins. I'm talking about being hateful to them about their sin. Just being really hateful, judgmental, spiteful. Well, if you're going to be like that, I'm just not having anything to do with you. Oh. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. Well, that's a verse in the Bible? Oh. Put no confidence in your flesh. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. Does it mean you walk around in fear? No. Except the fear of the Lord. You fear the Lord. God, let me not transgress you. Let me prefer your company over anybody's company. That if everybody would go, I have you. I prefer your company, God, over everybody's company. I prefer what you have to say over anything else anybody says to me, including something in my own head. So you got to get past you. People aren't in your way. There's plenty of room in the world to maneuver. People aren't in your way. Nobody's in your way. Except maybe us. We get in our own way, don't we? But God loves you with an everlasting love. And you know what? He's not going to give up on you. He doesn't give up on you. You have to literally, man, he just, I don't know how he does it. He is the long-suffering one. But he put that spirit in you, the capacity to be long-suffering. But you can't put confidence in your flesh to do it. I'm telling you straight up. And the only way that you can be really long-suffering with people is when you finally see how difficult you have been for God and how long He has watched you while your Bible sat on a table somewhere, while you're praying and crying out to Him, but you didn't want to hear what He had to say. You just wanted Him to fix your problem. You just wanted this to happen or that to happen. And He says, you know, people who really love each other, they enjoy having time together. They look forward to having time together. Have y'all noticed that? And when they get together, they laugh. They almost know what the other one's going to say or remember something that's happened, and they'll laugh about it or roll their eyes like, whoa, that was a deal. Things you've been through together, that sort of thing. And God says, I want that with you. I want that with you. Where you can say, oh, that's right, Jesus. We went through this before. Okay, now what? I didn't get it. Can you run it by me again? You find yourself. And you know He's not offended by that. I do things like that. I go, Jesus, I got this familiar feeling. Like, I've been here, done this before, and it didn't go well. So what is it I'm supposed to do? I don't remember. Ask Him. He says, you have not because you ask not. Or you ask amiss so you can consume it on yourself. The church was never meant to be an institution, you know. It wasn't. It was never meant to be some sort of institution. It was meant to be a life. Church is life. It's not a pew. It's not a seat. It's not a building. Church is life. And the life that I now live, Paul said. He didn't say now the church that I am. It's a life that I live. It was meant to be a life. John 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Are you living the more abundant life? Or are you still trying to just get to abundant? It's not talking about your things. See, this is, America is so thing-oriented. If you go to other parts of the world, there's such deprivation there, it's unbelievable. An abundant life doesn't mean you accumulate a lot of stuff or that you have a big house or you have the latest, newest car. That's not an abundant life. An abundant life is you're free. You are free. Nobody can intimidate you, and you don't try to intimidate anybody else. That you are free to be the you that God created you to be. Now, that's an abundant life. And you don't rehearse trash in your head anymore. Well, he just said this to me, and I just tell them, you don't do that. You don't go through the scenarios in your head anymore about how you're going to fix this or do that. Or next time I see her, you know what I'm going to do? No. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Do you understand that Jesus was tempted in everything I've just talked about? That he had those same temptations? He was tempted in all points just like we are, yet never sinned. So when people were offended at him, he could have been tempted, and I believe he was. He wasn't just tempted three times. You got to be kidding me. That was just an example. That's where he started. But it's not where it finished. In the Garden of Gethsemane, God, if there's any way that this can be accomplished apart from me dying on the cross, I'm ready. It wasn't that he wasn't surrendered to the will of God, but he just said, if there is another way, I sure would prefer it. Why? Because when you slapped him, it hit her. It hurt, just like it does anybody else. Y'all understand? Are y'all catching what I'm saying this morning? That somehow, when does the world quit being about just us? And I'm saying us. We're all tempted with the same things. God is good. Because see, when your confidence is in you, you're going to be in works. You're trying to earn something from God. You don't earn anything from God. How can you earn what he already gave you? How do you earn what he already gave you? See, this is the difference between religion, religions of the world, all over the world. You earn the right to go to heaven. You have to give your life, or you have to be able to recite certain things at a certain time, or you drink out of a cup something special, or you get a blessing from somebody, and then they can decide, you know, if you're okay or not. They decide that. Some person, or some event you have to go to, or some sacrifice you have to bring and make, then you're okay. You can't, that's not what Christianity is at all. Man. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship. And if you have this relationship with Jesus, your life begins to change because you have a relationship with someone that you prefer even over yourself. See, martyrs all over the world who are being martyred while I'm in here in this nice cushy place to be. We got really cushy seats. But people all over the world right now, they're suffering. They understand, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, they are really suffering. Our tolerance for suffering is almost zero in America. It's almost zero. And even in the church. And George, I never can remember the statistics, but it's like 80% or something of all people who go into ministry fizzle out. How many years is it? 5 years. 5 years, 5 years. They don't last 5 years. 5 years. And then there's some people that lasted longer, but they're not called to ministry. And then there's some that are. Because you're not called to a religion. You're not called to some sort of institution where you do these things. And now if you do enough of them, you're going to go to heaven. That's a lie from hell. Because you bypass Jesus every time you do that. Every time you think that way. You do not earn salvation. It was a price you could not pay because you didn't have the goods to do it because you had sin in your life. We were born into this sin nature. Jesus was the Spirit of God housed in flesh. He became a man so that we could become like him. So we could become like him. He's made us to sit with him, the Bible says, in heavenly places. He doesn't give you a seat beneath his. He said, no, come up here with me. You have no sin in your life. Because do you understand God never sees sin in you? Past, present, or future? When God looks at you, that's not what he sees. He sees the blood of Jesus. He said, that's been all paid for. And so God is always for you. He's never against you. Once you're born again, he's always for you. He's always for you. It's not mysterious. God's very predictable if you believe what he says. The problem we have is if you've been taught a lot of traditional churches like most of us grew up in, you were taught something completely different. They talked about grace, but they treated you like you had to earn it. Grace was just talk. It wasn't the walk. It's something that has to click inside your own mind and heart. I mean, I don't have to earn this stuff. No, because you can't. You can't. Get over yourself. You can't do it. It's something that's been given. That's what grace is. He did something you couldn't do so you can have something that was just handed to you. He handed you his authority. He gave you his words of life so you could learn and see how did he do it? What was he like? When you're reading the Gospels, read it like you're there. I always picture myself, I'm in the crowd. If it says 5,000 people, I'm somewhere, you know, watching. I imagine myself. You use your imagination for all kinds of things. We have a lot of industries who know that people use their imagination all the time. And they're on the internet. And they're unhealthy things to watch and something our eyes should never behold. They're perversions of what God designed life to be. But your imagination takes you someplace. It takes you someplace. It just does. We were created that way. And so you see things enough, it becomes more real to you. And the more you handle something you're not supposed to handle, the more attached to it you become. And those things become what we typically call addictions, really. And it's just by reason of use. But the Word of God talks about by reason of use. It uses that same thing, that if you get in the Word of God, you know what? Your desires change. And it's not you trying to fight some addiction anymore. Your desires actually change. Your desires for what used to be really cool to you or satisfying to you will begin to leave you. That's a fact. You cannot fill yourself with God all day long or every chance you get or pray in the Holy Ghost for hours, because you have hours during the week, hours and hours where you can pray in the Holy Ghost. You'll need the Holy Ghost because without him, you don't have the power. You don't have the power to do it. I'm telling you straight up. Whatever it is, you'll have to have the Holy Spirit. And you can get other people to pray and agree with you for things. I've prayed and agreed with people for years for things that I've seen come to pass. Just coming into agreement. I mean, real agreement, where you actually really do pray for them. I've seen lives change before my very eyes. But sometimes it was years and years and years. So this is a call for patience. We as human beings are terrible at being patient. We want other people to be very patient with us, right, while we're learning and growing. Are we patient with them? Do we hold things against people? Listen, are you holding something against somebody because they didn't measure up to what you thought they should be? Because if that's in your heart, you need to get that right. And quit trying to justify yourself. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't apologize or get right with people because you're so holy. You get right with people because he's holy. And you belong to him. And this is what he told you to do. He said, forgive others as I have forgiven you. Whoa, as I have forgiven you? That covers just about everything I can think of. John 10:10. Second part says, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So you've got works versus grace. So don't have confidence in the flesh. I just really don't. I don't. I know better. I've learned better. I say that. I may do it tomorrow. Y'all may have to forgive me. Do y'all see what I'm saying, though? It's like I've needed people to forgive me. Well, we put like somebody's got to be perfect before we'll relate to them. Well, then how is anybody going to relate to anybody if we all have that attitude? Well, but if that first time they do something like that, I just wouldn't have anything to do with them. I wouldn't, not me. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Are you so hot you're sizzling? Whatever we have it by grace because of Jesus. Jesus gets the glory for anything and everything. You don't touch the glory. And you don't try to fabricate it out of something of your flesh either. Turn to Galatians 2:20. Please. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that powerful? Can you just see him? I mean, when you think about Paul and his life and how he had persecuted the church, he would not have been voted most popular among the Christians, I'll tell you that. I've been crucified with Christ. I don't think sometimes we understand it was my sin that put him there. Our sin, past, present, future, God knowing beforehand who all was going to be born and everything. My sin was nailed to that cross. Well, so where did my sin go? It went into him. He took it in himself, in his own body, on that tree. So when God looks at me, do you know what he never sees? Sin. He never holds me accountable for sin. I will say this, sin will cause you problems because you'll feel guilty and you'll be judgmental of other people because you're carrying something in you that's warping your mind. Sin will warp your mind, and it will cause you to not get along with hardly anybody because you're not happy with yourself because you know you're in sin. It'll make you very impatient with other people. When you realize what Jesus really did for you, you'll have so much more patience with people. And I wish it didn't take us so long to get there. I'm just saying, don't burn your bridges with people. Don't burn them. Don't burn your bridges with people. They may come back and say, I was awful to you or whatever, but I need help. And your response will be, I'll be glad to help you. I'll be glad to help you. Because, see, you are the hand of Jesus extended to that person. Jesus helped me. I wasn't perfect. Why would Jesus help me? Or you? Why would he help any of us? And yet he did when he got on that cross. Do you know they couldn't kill him? He didn't have any sin. This was God on foot who walked on water and would disappear into the wilderness to pray. Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, in the wilderness, right? I thought about that. I've been camping before, and I've tried to imagine, what would it be like out there? He just walks off. He's just out there for days at a time, you know? He ain't got a Glock 17. He ain't got squat. He's just out there. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Do y'all ever imagine stuff like that in your head? What would it be like And they would just all just disappear. Don't say, anybody seen Jesus? No, I don't know. Well, he'll show up someplace. They knew he was going to show up someplace somehow. And you know what he did? They would show up. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Go, oh, there he is. There he is. Where you been for 3 days? When you're reading the Bible, put yourself in the story somewhere. Don't just read it like you do an encyclopedia. These are people's lives. These are stories that help you. It's the Word of God. It is truth. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did you know if we prayed more and were more conscious of what God wants us to pray for instead of our own little wish list, God already knows your heart. He will go beyond your wish list. And you'll have more opportunities to share the gospel because you've been praying, God, I want more opportunities to tell people about you. When you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you bypass your brain. Your brain's, it's what's in your way. We've been brought up to think a certain way about how life is. But all you know is how life is here in America. You haven't lived life in 3/4 of the world. So life in America is very different than any place else you're ever going to go. I'm telling you straight up, it is. The freedom that we're used to, we are free to pray. We are free to testify. We are free to share the gospel. Do you know in many parts of the world they're not at all? We're so free. Do you understand that there's an accountability for how much freedom we have to do it? And if we're not, as opposed to somebody who has very little freedom and yet they're doing it? It's something to think about, isn't it? Yeah. I think about these things. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's read this again. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. The only way you can pray without ceasing is to off and on all throughout the day you pray in tongues. Really. Because my mind doesn't have to be really in gear to do that. Because it's bypassing what I think in to begin with. But I am praying. See, God can't, he moves through people. God moves through people. God doesn't just zap out of the blue. Somebody's got to be praying for God to be moving. This is how he designed it to be. This is why he sent the Holy Spirit. And so we could pray and something could happen for somebody maybe on the other side of the world. Just because you don't see it, you don't always know what you're praying for. But if all Christians would really pray in the Spirit, do you know how powerful that would be? People are praying for a revival. We should be a revival. Our prayer, when people are praying about revival, they have a thought in their mind about what that would look like. Do you know God wants to do something different that you've never seen anywhere? On a level you've never seen or heard? With people you never dreamed God would do it through? Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. The refusal to pray in tongues is you quenching the Spirit. Yep. Do not despise prophecies. Don't blow that stuff off. He said, yeah, but it's been 12 years, or I got that word 7 years ago. And you act like it's all over with. Have you ever read this is a clue that you don't read the Bible. Because some prophecies were 700 years before something happened. Some were 1,000 years before it actually happened. But it actually did happen. God will give a prophecy. He doesn't have to tell you when it's going to happen. Your job is to believe it's true. Yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa. We can't put confidence in the flesh. And the Lord was telling me this morning. He said, it's like if I had a relative, some distant relative, they'd passed away, but they'd made somehow some legal arrangements that upon their death, I was to receive a very large sum of money. Well, let's say I end up using that money to benefit others, promote the kingdom of God, help people to understand salvation and what that really is by getting materials to them all over the world so they can learn about Jesus. Not be deceived by empty, dead religion, but learn the truth. If someone were to give me credit for all these things, I couldn't take it because I know the source that made it possible. See, Jesus is the source. So you can't ever take credit for something that he does. You were just responding. Like I just responded. Like if somebody gave me all that money, I just responded to the source of the money and then used it for a kingdom good. See, it's never about us. It's never, ever, ever about us. Before you're saved or after you're saved, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Put your confidence in Jesus. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. 1 John 4, 19 says, we love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. Your confidence must be in the Lord. Your confidence must be in the Lord and not just in your own head somewhere or some book you read somewhere by somebody you don't really know. There's a lot of good things and there's a lot of good that we can do. But you know, you can miss what God really had you to do by just doing a bunch of good things that were your idea instead of his. Did you know that? I mean, I'm for doing good deeds. I'm for doing good things. But there's only so many hours in the day. Are you doing what he actually told you to do? See? So you can't judge somebody else's works. You can't. Well, yeah, but they did this day. And look, at they're taking food over here. And they're doing that. But maybe God actually called them to do something completely different. So who's the master in that relationship? Where is the confidence in that relationship? Is the confidence in what God told them to do? Evidently not. Y'all understand the difference? Put no confidence in your flesh. Put your confidence in Christ, and he will use your flesh. He will use your body to take the food or preach the word or go visit somebody in prison or whatever it is. Or you may be somebody who can finance a ministry. I don't know. But God will tell you. He'll tell you. He'll talk to you. He loves you. He loves you. I think sometimes we say it so often that it just kind of rolls off like water. He loves you like nobody else can love you. Most people are not capable of loving the way Jesus loves. He came to show us how to love. And it'll be the death of you. It'll be the death of you. Get over yourself. Amen. Okay. Thank you, God, for your words of life. They are words of life. You know, sometimes the truth is hard to hear. So let him who has ears, or her, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to the called ones of God. You're called. Everybody in this room has been called. He called you. He has summoned you. Answer his call. Answer his call. And whether you're a male or a female, it makes no difference to God. You're somebody created in His image. And He has things for you to do. So you can't go by how things are just usually done. You'll miss it. I'm just telling you, you'll miss it. If you just go by kind of how things have always been, you know, the American church. Do you understand the American church does something very different? If you go to other places all over the world, the way they worship is completely different. It's different. But whatever culture that you're in, God wants to use you, is all I know. Because in Him there's no male, there's no female. You've all been made one in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is your model for what you can do. He is your model. He fed people. He was concerned about the children, right? I mean, just if you just read the ministry of Jesus, you'll find yourself in Jesus' ministry. You will find it. You will find it. Because He came to show us how to live. He came to show us how to live. Amen. Y'all stand up. Stephen, you got a word for this morning? Can you come give it, please?
Let go. Why do you hold on to what harms you? The weight of it holds you back. Give it to Jesus. It was never meant for you to carry. Cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. It is pride to think you can carry it. Humble yourself and let Him do what you cannot do. Free yourself from yourself. And I got another one. God is love. The only true and pure love, boundless and without conditions. There's nothing that you can do to gain more love, and there's nothing that you can do to lose God's love. His love is eternal and boundless. Everything He wills for you is good. Everything He has for you is of the highest quality. Your performance does not lower the standard. You are royalty. You are my children. You have been chosen. You have been set apart. You are truly loved.
Amen. Amen. Don't you love how God does that? I mean, I don't understand how that happens. I can't explain that. I mean, who can explain God, right? I just know He's big and He's able to do anything. I appreciate your willingness to submit yourself, to just sit and listen, and then just write it down. I really do. Did you ever ask God to be able to do that? No, of course not. Had you ever seen anybody ever do it? No. See, a lot of people, they would just not do that because they've never seen it done. See, my question is, so what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on before you'll obey God? Yeah. What am I waiting on? What are you waiting on? What are we waiting on? That's a good question, isn't it? I invite you to explore that and pray about it and say, God, and ask Him, God, what is it in this section of my journey that you would have me do, and then do what He tells you. Learn to obey Him. If he is God, why do we not, and we are His children, why do we not think in terms of just obeying what He tells us to do? Why are we doing something else all the time? Y'all understand? So we're the children. We're His kids. Wow. But we have a full-grown Jesus spirit in us. Turn loose on the general public. Yeah? Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. You're amazing. I find you to be amazing all the time. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you love us. and love us and love us and just keep loving us. Oh God, that our love for you would expand and broaden, and that we would see you in a new way, that we would see how much you love us, that we would fall so much in love with you when we see what all you do and provide for us, that we would be so happy to do what you tell us to do, even if it's hard. Yes, a lot of things, God, I ask you. Yes, it's hard. It's hard on your flesh, I can tell you that. But we're supposed to be crucifying that anyway. That's the part of you that's the stinky part in the first place. Yeah. I thank you, God, you're always with us. I'm not asking you to go with us. You always do. You were here because we walked in the room. You're always with us. You live inside of us. And God, help us to get over religious traditions that kill. They just kill and destroy people and actually keep them from believing the truth about you. And I give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Amen. Amen.